Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome. You're listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Mouse. This is where we celebrate and apply the gifts of dreams, coincidence, and imagination. We're going to have some fun this time. We're going to discover just how much fun it can be to share and play with dreams and personal stories by our lightning dream work method, which is the original method I first tried out on the world 22 years ago. And our guest, our wonderful guest, is Chelsea Lee. She is one of our dream teachers. She's studied with me. She's done the training for teachers of active dreaming. She's a dream instigator and encourager and coach in her own right. She leads online classes and does women's retreats and other gatherings. She's an artist and a creative spirit. And I'm going to get her at some point in this show to play guide to me when I will tell a dream or story, and you'll see how somebody else works the process. It's a process I think you would find it very rewarding to learn and use with people around you who are willing to tell you a dream or a story. Welcome, Chelsea.
Thank you, Robert. So glad to be here with you. Literally a dream come true.
Well, great. And you've just created a website which is called Lionhearted Dreamer. Is that what it's called?
TheLionheartedDreamer.com.
That's a very brave name. So we'll see how lionhearted you will be in this show. Okay, tell me what dreaming means to you, what you gain from it, why you spend so much time thinking and talking about dreams, and what you discover as you share dreams with other people.
Sure. So I've been fascinated with dreams since I can remember. Sharing dreams, hearing people's dreams, but working with master dreamers, I've been opened up to the potential that dreams hold for not only guidance and healing, but also inspiration. And I would like to call myself a dream advocate because we're getting these nightly messages, and if we open ourselves up and put ourselves in a place that is ready to listen and be open, you know, why wouldn't you want to take advantage of these gifts that we're given?
I remember a very lovely moment in my life when you came to one of my workshops in Madison, Wisconsin. And I had the pleasure of partnering with you in exploring a dream and then going back inside it. So we're talking now briefly about two core techniques of active dreaming. Active dreaming, as Chelsea knows well, is my name for an original synthesis of dream work and shamanism. So I told Chelsea this life-supporting dream, and I'm going to tell it slowly enough for everybody to see how dreams can confirm or direct us along our paths in life. I was making some radical decisions in my life. This is quite a few years ago. I had stopped being a best-selling thriller writer and was trying to find my way doing something different and pay the bills. And I dreamed that I'm coming through customs, passport control at an international airport, maybe Heathrow, where I used to travel a lot. And I'm having trouble. I'm being held up. They're going through my bags. They're asking me questions. And there is this voluptuous lady in furs and jewels with Louis Vuitton luggage who is just sort of swanning through, and they're treating her like the queen or the goddess. And I'm looking at her, and she turns and she blows me a kiss and says, "Goodbye, darling, we might meet again." And I understood at the time that this was a part of me, my happy hooker, I used to call her, who was perfectly content to earn big bucks for doing things that were not necessarily all that original or elevated. And I shared the dream with Chelsea, and we looked inside it and talked about it. And I think we actually had a peek, had an attempt to go back inside the dream and see what was going on. And I remember talking to Gloria, the name she now gave herself when I went back inside the dream. Notice I'm talking about a technique. You have a dream. Things have happened. You were somewhere. You could go back and talk to a character and find out more. So I go back to meet my charming, elegant, voluptuous, happy hooker. And her name is Gloria, and her favorite drink is the peach Bellini, which is champagne with peach juice. And she says, again, we could meet again, darling. It's really up to you. And I loved this moment of sharing with Chelsea, who was very wise and very humorous about it, and we discussed choices in life. Do you really want to converge with what a past self was doing? Do you really want to meet your Gloria again? So that's just taste. And I found that both fun and wise and witty and insightful. So, Chelsea, dreams have guided you on your path. I should mention you're also a wonderful artist and a very creative person. Tell us about, generally or with specific stories, because we love stories, about dreams that have guided you on your way.
Oh, sure. So preparing for the show today, this last week, one of the things that I had been doing was re-listening to an episode where on Kelly Sullivan Walden's show. She used to have a Unity online radio show where dreamers could call in and whoever her guest and her could all discuss it. So I just happened to choose one of the ones where I called in, and her guest happened to be Walter Berry. And the experience was pretty wild because even though the dream that I shared, you know, it's one from the past, but re-listening to the episode was kind of like going into an older dream journal and kind of looking back and making new connections and new aha moments. So if I'm able to, I would kind of like to share a little bit about that.
Tell us the story. And you're talking about going back inside a journal. Talk about going back to dreams from the past and finding their relevance today. So take it out of that context and give us the real stuff.
Sure. So, you know, the importance of keeping a dream journal is so that over time you can be able to go back and look through your dreams and make new connections, deeper connections. And as time passes, and you're growing, you can, you know, spot new things or new aha moments. So on the show, I was able to share two dreams that I had back-to-back that week. The first dream I had was called The Enthusiastic Man. And in the dream, I was shopping at an outlet mall, and the mall was closing, so I quickly made my purchase and exited the store. And was trying to make my way to my car. And as I was making my way to my car, this man approached me. And he was this very enthusiastic man. And he said that he remembered me, that I worked at one of the stores. And he was talking about my work history and telling me, giving me the message that, wow, with all of your work history and all of your experience in general, whatever endeavor that you have, that you're going to succeed. And we're walking and talking, and all of a sudden this car pulls up, and he opens the door, and he asks, do you have more time to chat? And I kind of let the fear get to me a little bit of that stranger danger kind of feeling, so I declined his offer, and the dream ended. So I went back to sleep, and I woke up in a classroom. And I'm in the classroom, and I make my way to the front to get a good seat. And the teacher is in the front of the room with his back turned to me, preparing for the class. And the teacher turns around, and of course it's Dream Robert. And he smiles at me, and he's still preparing the class. And he pulls down one of those projector screens, and he turns on the projector. And he is projecting my resume up on the screen. So I was like, okay. So I'm waiting for the rest of the students to arrive. And these boys shuffle in. And I recognize them. They're this group of boys from high school that used to like to bully me. And, of course, they sit all around me. and class is about to start, and all of a sudden more of them come in the room, and they park right in front of me. They parked in front of me with this big white van. And so I'm sitting there kind of annoyed with them, thinking, wow, my view is obstructed, and you guys are just taking up too much space. I look around the room to try to find a better seat, but all these spots are already taken. So I raise my hand, and Dream Robert calls on me and asks, what's the matter? And I'm like, my view is obstructed. These boys are taking up too much space. And Dream Robert agrees. He's annoyed with the boys, and he tells them that I deserve space that's not obstructed. And the dream ends. So.
Okay. Well, I'm glad that Dream Robert was helpful. So, what did you bring from this and apply in your life that was helpful?
So, like I said, I was listening to this at random, but I really kind of made the aha connection of, at the time of a reality check, I didn't really see anything like that playing out in the future of any way of Robert Moss projecting my resume on a screen. So, but listening to it this time, like, the huge connection I made was, like, to me, this dream, both of these dreams are all about self-value and kind of the opposite of that, too, like self-doubt and the doubt of my greatness or my value. So listening to this dream and the advice that both Kelly and Walter chimed in with, it made me realize that it was almost like a message to me preparing for the show of, it's like, if I can't see the greatness of myself, how would I expect anyone else to? And it just really seemed like a nod from the universe at the time. So I thought it was pretty wild, and I just wanted to share.
Well, if it were my dream, I would say that my inner dream teacher, my inner version of whatever Robert means to me, which might be a leader, teacher, someone who can take authority and use it gently but firmly, but this part of me needs to come to the fore and make sure that I claim my space and don't let myself get cut off, etc. And, of course, it's very, very confirming and very supportive for me to have my resume in the version that I like projected by somebody that I regard as a teacher. And as we know, when we dream we're in classroom and it's not about a literal school, you know, life is a school. It's about the school of life, isn't it? So this flags the fact, if these are my dreams, that what you're saying is rather important. These are lessons I need to learn at this stage of my life. I must say, without trying to do the full dream process on a dream you've already been working and so on, Chelsea, I dream every night of the week, I would say, that I'm leading workshops, giving lectures. I mean, sometimes I wake up happily exhausted in the sense that, you know, you can be happily exhausted if you've done a good job and led a program, maybe for days, maybe for many days. And some nights I seem to teach a three-day or even a six-day intensive workshop in a couple of hours in bed, and it goes on every night of my life. So I'm never surprised when people tell me that I turned up in a classroom, and although I will jump to saying, well, that's your inner Robert, isn't it? I sometimes wonder, did she or he actually turn up in one of these places where I'm teaching all the time? Because that's one of the functions of dreaming. I mean, we travel, we get out and about. It's not just about what's going on inside our head. All right, Chelsea, I'm going to lay a dream on you. You ready to hear one of my dreams?
Perfect. What's the title, Robert?
Well, just one second. Let's just give a little bit of background. What I want Chelsea to do is to lead the Lightning Dreamwork process. This is an original process. I think it's the best method of sharing dreams that we have. I first introduced it to world audiences back in the year 2000 in New York City at an international conference and then everywhere else. First tried it out with dedicated dreamers up in a mountain in the New York Adirondacks. All right, and the dream I'm giving you, I was looking over the last few days, I want to give you my first dream of this year, which I really haven't exhausted yet in terms of my understanding. So the title is, but it is the first dream of 2023. That's what it is. And the title is Long Lake Drive to the Baby. Long Lake Drive to the Baby.
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
I am, yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm in a car, and the license plate is important. The license plate reads Mummy, mummy. Not mommy, mommy, but mummy, mummy, the Australian or English way. Mummy, mummy. And I see it twice. It's part of a longer phrase, maybe a line from a song. That's a lot to have on a car license plate, but that's what it is. We are driving through lovely deep woods. I can see water shining beyond the trees. When we come out on a lakeside road, I'm at the wheel, so there's some switcheroo about who's at the wheel. Seems a very long drive with many, many, many sharp curves, and great care is needed to keep the car on the road. The lake, which is to my right, is cobalt blue, and the water is very high, sometimes only a foot or two below the road. There's some banter, some chatter with the two women in the car with me about the relative competence of drivers, including a man who's mentioned his name as something like John, but it's Johnu, 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 not Johnu, Johnu. There's no oncoming traffic, no roadworks, no obstacles, except the need to adjust my speed while hugging all those bends. So this goes on for a while, and eventually we stop before the road goes through the mountains, and we check into a motel. Outside in the early light, I hold a baby. The baby is so very sweet, gurgling with delight as I dandle her or him and coo, "Good morning." I find the baby breath intoxicating. How lovely it is to hold this warm new life in my arms. And that's the dream.
How sweet. What were your feelings upon waking, Robert?
I felt love and joy. I also felt the absolute realness, the absolute reality of the dream. I could still smell the baby's breath. So it was a very, very happily, gently sensory dream as well. Love and joy.
And how about now? The same feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling happy telling it. I really feel quite moved by it. You know, it was... And I felt so grateful at the time, and I guess I feel grateful again. This is the first dream of the new year, and I should mention I had set an intention. I don't do that every night. My intention was very simple. Show me something of the year ahead.
And could you see anything in this dream playing out in your waking reality, either literally or maybe symbolically?
Well, the drive reminds me a little bit of driving Highway 1 south to Esalen in Big Sur, where I taught over 25 years, really, except that this is a lake. It's not the ocean. It's not the Pacific Ocean. It's definitely a lake. I know the name Johnu is odd. I know a number of men called John, but I can't think of anyone I'd call Johnu. I don't know who's with me in the car. I don't know what make the car is. And in virtual reality, I've virtually given up driving. In ordinary reality, I've virtually given up driving, so that's important. I don't expect to literally have another baby or to welcome one into my family in the year ahead. I do associate unexpected babies in dreams with delivering a new creative project, so that has great meaning for me symbolically.
What are you most curious about in the dream right now?
Well, I want to know what the baby is, really, and what's required to deliver it. I mean, I don't know what the baby... Where are we? 4 months after the dream. I still don't know what the baby is. I mean, for most of my life, I would have assumed the baby was a new book because, you know, I've published lots of books and I'm a writer. I'm not sure that this year the baby is a new book, so I'm curious about what the new project that I would appreciate like a new baby is going to be if it comes through.
Sure. Well, are you open to some feedback from me?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Awesome. For me, if it was my dream, babies, I also associate babies showing up as something new, a new beginning, a new project, a new passion. So I would also be really curious about that. The thing that sticks with me the most is the license plate, because for me, I'm not even looking for them, but I always run into novelty plates and I keep track of them. They're always sending me messages. So I'm really intrigued by the mommy, mommy. It seems like an endearing call. So I feel like this baby is calling to me. the symbol of a baby, this particular baby, if I'm not feeling that it's particularly a new book. Maybe, like I said, it's a new passion. If it was my dream, a new beginnings, new possibilities, maybe a blank canvas. I'm thinking about artwork. So just this new spark of inspiration and filling up that blank canvas.
Yeah, that's good. I think I've actually found in recent months that in many ways I'm more interested in drawing and painting than I am in writing, as you've probably seen from what I've posted in social media. I've been drawing and painting every day, sometimes from dreams, sometimes from ideas, sometimes from mythological themes and so on. And I'm really enjoying myself, and I'm doing it for its own sake. I sort of tend to take things and post them so I could say to people, look what I did today, and I enjoy their feedback. But I'm doing it all for pure pleasure. You know, it's not part of a book contract or something like that, although people are saying I should make books out of these things. But I don't want it to become a job of work yet. I'm doing it for its own sake. The artist in me through this year has been something that's flourishing and very good. When you talk about the Mummy Mummy, you know, I have the soundtrack of that comedy, Mamma Mia, that jumps into my Mamma Mia, here I go again, here I go again. And there's just a sense of joy and lightheartedness and doing things for fun's sake. So to proceed in that mode would be a very good way forward, a good action plan, I think.
Definitely.
So you're going to ask me for a bumper sticker, right?
Of course. I was going to ask first if you had maybe an action plan.
Right. We are up against the gun in terms of time. So let me just say my action plan is to go forward in a spirit of pure fun. And I'm going to make my, and watch the curves, watch the bends on the way to delivering the new baby. And my bumper sticker for now is, it could be Mamma Mia, but I think it's The Road Is Open. So we're having fun with Chelsea Lee. I'm sorry I had to end the process, which was for my own benefit, so abruptly. We have to take a break. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back for more soon.
Where can you find out about dreams and the dream world? MossDreams.com. At MossDreams.com, you can find out about Robert Moss, his work, and discover the way of the dreamer. Read numerous articles and essays on almost every facet of dreams. Find out Robert's class and workshop schedule. Read reviews and so much more. Visit MossDreams.com to find your way of the dreamer. That's MossDreams.com.
Robert Moss has a deep engagement with the dream world, and now you can take a crash course from this master of the act of dreaming at your own pace. That's right. You can get Robert's 8 exciting half-hour programs on a new DVD set called Way of the Dreamer. Share Robert's story as a dreamer and dream healer. This dynamic 3 DVD set can help teach you how to find your way through your dreams to realize your full potential. Don't wait to learn the practical dreamwork techniques that can help you understand how to attain better health, emotional stability, spiritual awareness, and more. Order Way of the Dreamer DVDs today from Amazon.com or MossDreams.com. That's MossDreams.com. Learn to recognize your symbols to experience increased intuition, mindfulness, and get insight into life challenges with Linda McKenzie's new book, Symbols of You. You can even interpret your dream symbols. So get your copy of Symbols of You at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Target today.
We're HealthyLife.net, reaching and helping a worldwide audience without hype, without shock, and without shenanigans.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Go over to my website, mossdreams.com. But see, I'm teaching a lot online and even a few in-person retreats at wonderful magical places. Our great guest is Chelsea Lee, who is a teacher of active dreaming, artist, dream advocate, she calls herself. And what is your website again, Chelsea?
It's thelionheartedreamer.com.
Yeah, I nearly called one of my books The Place of the Lion. There's a lion on the cover. That is active dreaming. I like lions. I've dreamed of them all my life. I like all big cats. So that perhaps introduces a recurring theme. I mean, when people in general think about dreams, they might reflect on the fact that they've had a recurring theme, a symbol that comes up again, a situation. It might be an evolving story that I might recognize as running like a serial, like a season of a TV series where you move one episode to another. It might be basically the same situation coming up again. You talk to people about this all the time. When you think about, you know, popular dream symbols and recurring themes and what help people and or encouragement people need with them, what comes to your mind? And are there interesting recurring situations that you face in your dreams that you'd like to talk about?
I think it's interesting that the dream that you chose, I feel like one of the main symbols was a baby. I feel like with a lot of the people I've been working with recently, that is a very common theme, not only for the other dreamers, but myself. One of the dreams that I was going to share today, one of the things I wanted to talk about was like dream fragments and being super kind to dream fragments. People easily dismiss them or just be like, oh, that was kind of just silly. So baby has been coming up a lot. And the thing that I've been noticing is kind of like different ways that babies can be, I guess, transported. In my dream, I dreamt about like a baby being like how you can put them on your back or on your front, like attached to you. I guess I don't know what that's called. But also other people like symbols like a stroller and things like that. So that is one of the themes that I've been really working with. So I thought it was interesting that without me mentioning it, it came up.
But the analogy between the baby and the delivery of a creative project, it has been quite explicit for me in some of my own dreams. Before I wrote my last published book, Growing Big Dreams, I dreamed that the doorbell rang at the outside door to my house, and I go to the door, and a baby basket has been placed in front of the door, and inside it, instead of a baby, is the typescript of a book tied up in pink and blue ribbons. I mean, it was so clear, so in your face. The baby that is coming is a book. I actually made a painting of the scene, and it inspired me as I proceeded to write the book. And I've seen this in a lot of other dreams. Of course, the baby might be the baby. I mean, people dream their way towards pregnancy and delivery, and that can be incredibly helpful for any family member, not just the mother, on the way to delivering the literal baby. So that's an important theme. Here's a theme that comes up quite often in my own dreams, Chelsea, and I just wonder what you make of it. Recurringly, it's not the same dream. The circumstances are altogether different and quite specific, and like many of my dreams, the situations seem altogether real. I mean, I'm there, I'm doing it with those people, I'm in that hotel. So I set off somewhere from a hotel or a place where I'm staying. This starts in a place I do not know in ordinary reality, a foreign country where perhaps I haven't been or don't yet know very well, or some other place. I set off, and then I can't find my way. I can't find my way, or I find my way to the place I'm going to, but then I can't find my way back. So it's a recurring theme on which there are many, many variations. And sometimes I get back to the hotel I'm staying in, but I can't remember the room number, can't remember the street number, whatever. That is a recurring theme of getting a bit lost in a dream. It's never terribly serious. I'm never particularly worried about it, but it's something that I notice happens again. And then a second theme comes into play because, you know, I'm sort of lost, can't find my way. So I get out my phone, and my phone doesn't work. And often my phone is completely unlike the mobile phone I carry in my pocket. It works differently. Odd things happen. The things that happen might be fascinating, but it doesn't work as a phone. So there's the second theme. My ordinary communications device doesn't seem to work in my dreams. So what do you make of those recurring situations?
I find that really interesting. I also have a similar experience with my dreaming and also other people. I've actually put that question to people because I thought it was really interesting that, like, in a dream, if you do even remember, for me, I don't usually have my phone with me like I would in my waking reality, like, with me all the time. But if I happen to have that come up in a dream, I have that same issue as where it doesn't work like I know that it should, and maybe misfunctioning or just working in a completely different way that I don't understand. And I think that's because maybe of the dream time and things are different there. But the thing that came to me when you were speaking of being lost, I wanted to this question of maybe, like, have you ever tried, like, asking for help or direction or guidance?
It varies. I quite often ask for help. In dreams, as in waking life, I'm actually not shy about asking for help or asking for directions, unlike what is said of most men. I mean, I'm actually not ashamed to seek help. And I often do seek help, and people typically, when I do that in dreams, they try to help me, but then the directions are either incomprehensible or wrong, or something goes wrong. So I find in dreams I ask for help, and then the help is offered, but it doesn't work out. I mean, it's this is a recurring theme. I wouldn't say it's going on every night or every week, and it's never particularly alarming. When I come back from these dreams, I'm never really upset or worried, but it's a frequent situation, so it does make me wonder how often in life, whether I know it or not, I'm not heading exactly the right way.
When I find myself having that kind of theme in my dreams, thinking upon it, sometimes maybe I'm also feeling that way in my waking life. Maybe I'm stressed over something, or maybe trying to mull over a decision. So maybe that could kind of be seeping into my dream time theme too.
Okay, what are some recurring situations or themes in your own dreams that draw your attention?
For me, the baby has been one that's come up recently. What else?
If I were a woman of childbearing age, I wouldn't rule out the fact that a soul may want to be born through me as my baby.
Don't wish that for me, Robert.
I'm not wishing it for you. I'm just saying I wouldn't throw that out the window without considering it. Because sometimes, you know, one of the things that goes on is that souls try to communicate. And the parents, of course, might say, no, get out of here. That happens quite a lot. But I wouldn't rule out that that might be one of the things going on. Anyway, on that choice note, we're going to pause again. When we come back, I'm going to see whether Chelsea would like to tell me a dream so I can guide her in this process. We'd love everybody to learn and work with, because it really deepens relationships. It can become tremendous fun. It becomes a great incentive to bring something to the table in terms of a fresh dream or story. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We'll be back after a short break.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com. Get your personal dream symbols and discover the ones you dream about in Linda McKenzie's Symbols of You, a new book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and more.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
Welcome back. You're listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We're about to demonstrate again what I call the lightning dreamwork process. It's a fast, fun, four-step method of sharing a dream or story in a safe space, getting some helpful feedback, and being guided and encouraged to take some action to apply the guidance and embody the energy, creative and healing energy of the dream in regular life, which is a kind of magic. Once you've learned this, you'll find that you have a way of talking to people about just about anything, actually, which is fun and mutually empowering, and that everybody involved becomes a better storyteller, which is a great thing to become. All right, Chelsea, you're going to share a dream or bits of two dreams with me, right?
Yes. So this is the dream that apparently wanted to be shared today, and it's just two short dream fragments that were connected. And I just wanted to really emphasize that you shouldn't really dismiss these fragments, and you should be kind to them, because when you work with them, you could be surprised of what you could get from it. So.
Okay, great. So is there a title for both fragments, or are there two different titles?
So there are two different ones.
All right. The title
of my dream is Higgly Piggly Jiggly. And in my dream, I'm outside. It's a gorgeous day. I'm laying belly down on grass, and I'm like in a meadow. Birds are chirping. The sun is shining. It's like the energy of the first beautiful spring day. And I'm laying down, and I'm like studying this. It's like a open book, and I'm looking at this specific page, and it's this cute little, like, children's book, fairy tale, myth, and it's all about pigs. And there's, an image of these pigs, and they're wearing clothes, and they're all super characterized. And there's a little story that goes along with it. And all I remember of the words is that it was kind of like, how children's books are with, like, Dr. Seuss and whatnot, where there's kind of a pop-on-pop rhyme to it. So it made me really think of that Higgly Piggly Jiggly energy. And as I'm about to wake from my dream, I just have this real sense of my grandma and that she's watching me, and I wake up.
Oh, that's very sweet. But you want to,
yeah.
You don't want to discuss this alone. You want to pair it with another short dream. Is that the
idea? Sure.
Okay.
So the second dream that fragment that I had was, it's really short. And when I woke up, I was like, what the heck? It was how people, I saw these two people, and they both had, they were going to wrestle. They were like in a competition where, you know, you do a long jump, and then you ride your bike, and then you do this, and there's a winner. And the two people are about to wrestle, but I noticed that they both have, like, babies strapped to them. And I'm concerned, like, that doesn't seem very safe. And I fade out. So at the time, I really was clueless of what the heck that could be about.
Okay, you've decided to pair these two scenes. I mean, someone else might have initial difficulty seeing any connection, but we'll work the way that you want us to work. So let's ask our basic questions, and I don't know whether you need to give two answers to each or one, but how did you feel coming out of these dreams?
In the first dream, I felt I was really joyful, and especially with the sense of feeling of my grandma, I just felt joy.
Okay. And after the wrestling match, that might not take place?
I was kind of like really curious and a little concerned for the babies.
All right. So, reality check, what do you recognize from both of these scenes? The meadow, the pigs, the story, the... What elements are familiar in any way?
If I were to choose the most important standout symbols for me, I would choose the book and the page, particularly that it reminds me of like a children's book. Also, just like the pure contentment feeling that I had of just enjoying exactly where you're at in the moment, in the now. And then lastly, just basking in that feeling of my grandma.
Okay. And the scene with the people with babies strapped to them who might be getting into a wrestling match, is anything familiar in that scene? You said the baby theme's coming up.
The baby was the big standout for me, yeah. And also, like, the carrier of the baby. The baby was, like, strapped to the person and close.
Okay, well, tell me what connection you find between the two scenes. You're the one who's chosen to run them together, so presumably there is a thread running through them or a developing story to be found. Do you find any points of resemblance or any emerging narrative as you think about the two scenes? Is there any connection between them?
Working with this dream, what the reality check for me of thinking upon it is, I remembered that when I was younger, before I could even read, I used to stare at children's book pages and immerse myself in the artwork and put myself there and basically explore the story with no words. And I really got the sense of that from this dream. Also, the sense of my grandma, and it made me remember that my grandma used to always read me storybooks, and she would read them with the characters' voices, and they would come alive. So all of this from the dream reminded me of that meeting I had with you in Madison. When I left Madison, I had the question that everybody has of, like, What is my gift, or what am I supposed to do in life? What am I meant to do? What's my path? And when I left, I kind of felt like I had an epiphany of what my assignment was. I was told that, hey, you should be writing and illustrating a children's book. And I totally took this on, was all about it. And then somewhere along the line, I kind of unstrapped my baby, and I kind of let it on the wayside for a little bit. So having that second dream fragment, at first not having really any clue to what it was trying to tell me, working with that symbol of the baby, I'm thinking, you know, new project, new beginnings, starting fresh. So what I'm thinking for that is the children's book project that I had totally taken on, but I unstrapped it. And so with this dream, what I'm wanting to do is pick this back up and put my baby back on.
Well, you're doing a very good job of fleshing out the meaning of your dreams for yourself, Chelsea. So I'll go away now and leave you to finish the show.
That's it. Sorry.
But having said all that very quickly, is there something that you are curious about in the sense that there's something more you need to know from these two scenes? Because you figured out a lot of things, and that makes perfect sense to me. But is there some element remaining that you would like to know more about?
Maybe, like, in the second dream fragment of how it almost seemed like there was a competition between the two people and their babies, kind of like what that has to deal with.
So if it's my dream, very quickly moving into that mode, I can see that there is a great impetus to bring through something creative connected to the imagery, the stories, the passions, the fun of childhood. And if I'm an artist who can tap into the imagination of children, children's books sounds like a good project. To bring that through, I have to avoid getting caught up in the wrong kind of adult competitions, attitudes, you know, tests of strength and all that stuff. I have to look after the babies. So that's the caution in the second scene. You've got an action plan already. We don't need to discuss that. You're going to do this book, whether it's got Higgledy Jiggledy Pigs or other child elements. I just celebrate the very sensory, very real quality of the first scene, and we'll come back and talk to that about that after the break. Chelsea, just for now, for temporary closure, what is your bumper sticker? What is a phrase you can bring away that will move you forward?
Strapping back on my baby.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're going to take another break. This is Where the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you're interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You're listening to The Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. We just heard a delicious dream from Chelsea Lee of being in a beautiful meadow and feeling the grass and feeling nature and enjoying the images of Higgledy Piggledy Piggies in a children's book, and then having to navigate the possible challenges of adult competition and attitudes. I love dreams in which the senses come alive, and the ancients thought that dreams are particularly important when senses beyond sight and hearing get engaged, like taste, like smell. Just thinking about today, I was asked today to make a sandwich that I dreamed. It's a very simple sandwich, nothing complicated. I'm not much of a cook and not much of a gourmet fixer of food, but I dreamed some time ago that I made a perfectly delicious sandwich. It was absolutely fresh ciabatta bread with nice Italian roast beef, very, very thinly sliced, the nice Swiss-type cheese, very thinly sliced, spring greens, Dijon mustard, mayonnaise. And I woke from that dream having been eating the sandwich but still wanting to go on eating it, so I got the fixings years ago and made the sandwich. I was asked to make it again today. And I was just thinking as I ate the sandwich, it is really interesting, as I say, when dreams are alive. Of course, you might have sensory impressions you'd rather not have, or they might be really odd. I mean, as I'm talking about eating and food dreams, I'm thinking about dreams in which I and people of literature and history have found myself eating, for example, a book or a papyrus scroll. I mean, I've eaten books and things like books in my dreams, and I thought, well, the ancients would have thought that this was imbibing the knowledge, sometimes a sacred text, a mystery, a hermetic scroll, and taking it inside yourself. Chelsea, you told us a very, very vivid scene of being on the grass with the book Do you remember scenes in which your other senses are alive? Do you sometimes taste or smell things, for example?
In dreams, yeah, I do have senses like that. I wouldn't say that I've been able to accomplish reading. I think that was one of the things I was really excited about, the dream I shared, is that didn't necessarily read and retain the story or text that went along with that page, but I feel like I had the feeling of it with that higgly, piggly, jiggly, wiggly kind of feeling. It's like fun and playful and just really in the moment. I unfortunately haven't had many dreams of eating or tasting anything, unfortunately.
I don't get that much feedback from people who have when I ask that question, interestingly enough, including very prolific dreamers. But what astonishes me even more is something you just referred to. Most dreamers that I'm in contact with, and you and I know lots and lots of people who value dreams from memories, very few dreamers that I know about have had the experience of reading in dreams and being able to hold on to what they read. Actually, those might be two separate points. You might read in your dreams but not be able to bring it back, or you might not be able to read in your dreams. I mean, people who advocate lucid dreaming often say, well, you'll find that you can't read text blurs, and that's a sign that you're dreaming. I mean, for me, that is absolute nonsense, because I read just as much in my dreams as in regular life, sometimes more so, and I succeed in bringing back a certain amount. I don't bring as much back as I might like, and often I don't need to bring that much back because I'm doing it in the other reality that is dreaming, and I've done it there, and I don't need to carry it all with me wherever I go. But I know other people in history who have been big-time dreamers. I mean, Wolfgang Pauli, the quantum physicist who advised Jung on his synchronicity theory and shared his dreams with Jung. Wolfgang Pauli was a prolific reader in his dreams. He brought back all sorts of stuff. I read an article about Wolfgang Pauli's reading list, is what he read in his dreams. So it's interesting. I mean, we dream in different ways. There are different styles. Since the pandemic began, which really put an end, maybe forever, to my time as a world traveler who spent 7 months of the year getting on and off planes, I've greatly valued the dreams that are clearly experience of travel. We travel. We get social. We meet other people. We go to other places. We have dinner in Paris. We swim in a tropical lagoon. We go to another reality. We move amongst the dead in the lands where the dead are alive. I've done that all my life, and other conscious dreamers have done it too, but I particularly valued, as someone who's at home a lot more than he used to be, the fact that in dreams we can travel without leaving home. Is that something you enjoy in your dreams? Are you conscious of going to other places that are quite real and having good adventures there and coming back with some good memories?
Definitely. I think that's one of the things people kind of forget about, that you have access to through your dreams, is that you can travel and you can go places and you can set an intention to go wherever you want and do whatever you want. Most recently, my travel plans have been trying to succeed in meeting up other dreamers at different locations. So that's
right.
Been kind of a fun travel mission lately.
You just reminded me, we're doing a group travel assignment tonight with people in my level 3 training for dream teachers. We're going to a very magical place on the Scottish borders that I visited many years ago, and we're going to see what we can discover, and we're going to see if we can meet up and have some conversations and exchange gestures and bring back memories. This is one of the things about dreaming that ancient and indigenous cultures understand and Western psychology has difficulty with. Dreaming is social as well as individual. We dream with other people. As I look over my journals, I notice that in many of my dreams, there have been meetups, planned or unplanned, with other dreamers, and we can sometimes call this mutual dreaming. You meet up, you have some experiences with someone else in another reality. You can do it by intention. You could say we're going to rendezvous at such and such a place. I remember in one of the trainings, we agreed we'd meet up at a famous market in Montreal, which none of us had been to except one French-Canadian in the group who could describe it. We agreed to meet by the cheese counter. And some like cheese more than others. I really enjoyed, here we go with food again, I really enjoyed the Camembert and the Roquefort. And we had some of us remembered vividly our conversation at the cheese counter, and then people haired off in different directions. And the food conversation, the breakfast table afterwards, was so intense that our host, who's a wonderful chef, owner of a private retreat center, made sure she got the cheeses that had been mentioned to offer on a cheese board later that day. So anyway, one of the interesting things that goes on when you manage to meet up like this, and of course we do it in circles and workshops when we agree to travel inside someone's dream. We call this dream reentry and tracking. You have a dream, you'd like to know more, you have some questions, you decide to go back inside your dream, that's dream reentry. You invite us, or some of us, to come with you and give you information from our point of view, that's dream reentry and tracking. When we do that together, when a group of dreamers are traveling together and they bring back mutually confirming information, you have state-specific scientific evidence that the streaming is surreal, that it's a real experience, because you have people confirming each other's odysseys. So it becomes interesting in terms of the validation of dreaming, of helping people to understand that dreaming is not about escaping one reality, it's about adventuring in larger realities and other dimensions of reality. I often feel when I come back from a dream a bit the way I used to feel when I got off a plane and took a car home. I mean, I went there, I did that, I came home, I might be more or less jet-lagged. But it's all fun, isn't it? And it's a pathway of infinite adventure and discovery and creativity. And I'm delighted, Chelsea, that you've picked up the torch and you're carrying the flame and you're inspiring people to do more with dreaming. And you're enjoying it, yes?
Yes, very much so.
All right, we've been talking to Chelsea Lee. The lionheartedDreamer.com is, I believe, her website. We'll be back in a moment to say dream on. You've been listening to Way of the Dreamer with Robert Moss.
Since ancient times, indigenous people from every culture have used their dreams to help interpret their lives, the world around them, and the future. Now you can tap into this indigenous wisdom with Robert Moss's workshops and classes, all designed to help you learn more about you and your connection to the dream world. If you are interested in finding out about how to host a class or workshop in your area, email Robert at robert@mossdreams.com. Or to find out about Robert's ongoing schedule of classes and workshops offered worldwide, visit his website, mossdreams.com.
Robert Moss has a collection of books, audio, video, and DVD products that will help you bring the creative and healing gift of dreams into your everyday life. Revitalize your work and relationships and journey to the furthest reaches of your imagination. These books are tools that everyone can use to begin or enhance active dreaming in their lives. Visit mossdreams.com. That's mossdreams.com. MOSSDREAMS.com.
Get your personal dream symbols and discover the ones you dream about in Linda McKenzie's Symbols of You, a new book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, and more.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
You've been listening to Way of the Dream with Robert Moss. Pop over to my website, mossdreams.com, and we've been very grateful for Chelsea Lee, who is an enthusiast and an advocate for dreaming. Chelsea, do you have a last thought you'd like to offer people?
Yes. Taking brave, bold actions towards your dreams.
All right. Well, everybody, may your best dreams come true. And may you remember them.